It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it's time for us to spend about 15 minutes here on KETR and talk about the outdoors. You know, the Dallas Safari Club Convention is coming up this coming week, and I want to remind everybody, if you're there on Saturday from 1:30 to 3, I believe it is, come by the Zeiss stage, and we're going to have an antler rattling contest. There's going to be some really good deer hunters there, and they're going to be, contest will be to determine the best of the group. There'll be about 10 or 15 of them. So if you get a chance, come by. Ron Spalmer will be there. He's a well-known outdoor writer, and I think you've probably watched his TV show, Winchester World of Whitetails. Ron will be there. I'll be in one of the judges. And then Stephen Ray, who invented the rattling forks, will also be a judge. So it'd be a lot of fun. Come by and say hello. I thought it would be appropriate, after all the rains that we had this past week and all the fresh water in the lakes, to do a little check-in with our buddy guide Seth Vanover and see what this influx of fresh water does to the crappie fishing especially. And I think we have Seth on the phone. Seth, are you standing by there, buddy?
I'm in my waders. I sure am.
I hear you. Well, I wanted to tell everybody about the Dallas Safari Club show that's coming up next week, and I know you're going to get to come, and we're going to maybe just have a day off on Friday of the show and go around and just have a good look around and see what's going on, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, what about, you know, when crappie in the wintertime, Seth, when they lock down on a deep water pattern, which they've been on, you've told me, and then you get several inches of rain, the lake comes on a rise, how long does it take for the lake to stabilize? Does it mess the fishing pattern up? I guess that's my question.
It varies from lake to lake. Lake of the Pines, it has messed it up tremendously. Lake Fork, not as much. Lake Fork, it's not going to get 8, 9, 10 feet high like Lake of the Pines is. SRA is not going to allow that to happen. They're going to release water from the lake. But right now, Pines is like 9 feet high, and that makes a huge difference on the crappie fishing on Pines right now.
It's got to. But Fork, the pattern that you was talking, we had you on here, you were visiting with us a couple weeks ago, Seth, and they'd come into their deeper water mostly. Would you still want to concentrate on 30 foot plus water right now at Fork?
Especially after this big cold front we had, really concentrate on that 30 to 35 foot range. It's going to be that way until middle of February. It kind of depends on how the weather plays out, how cold it stays. But usually by middle of February, you can bank on them starting to move back up and get ready for the spawn.
Okay, that's happens every year. Well, one other question, you know, I had a chance to fish with you a couple of years down on the Sabine River, down below Longview for the white bass run. And I'll say this, I'm chomping at the bit to get back down there with you. Now, those trips, the unseasonably warm weather we had up until, just a few days ago, I mean, it could happen a little bit earlier than normal, do you think? The white bass run?
It will happen, but it's not going to be anything like that. I mean, the river is so high.
I bet.
You can catch white bass. The problem with the river is they can be anywhere, and one day they're there, the next day they're not.
Yes.
That's how high the river is right now.
Oh, and one of the key things to your fishing on that is when it gets more to a normal level, the natural shoals or the dam, there's a certain spot there that they go to, and then they stack up like cordwood. So when it probably will, unless we just keep on getting floods, but the river will probably get back to that level and where you can where it's really dependable, you know.
I hope so. Right now, yeah. It is flooding roads out.
I know. Well, 2 or 3 weeks of runoff can do a lot of things, but if it keeps raining like it has, now you know, just a year or 2 years ago, we would have given anything for all this rain, you know.
Right.
But it seems like It's here. Yes, it's a cycle. It's Mother Nature in action. Back to Fork, Seth. Now, if you want to catfishing in this time of the winter, I know it's not fast-paced like it is when the water's warmer, but you can still catch some nice channel cat down there. I know that.
It's pretty much as fast-paced. It's just not a hard bite.
Okay.
So we're catching just as many, if not more. And we're still catching a lot of channel cat right now. It's just not that crash bite like you get in the summer.
But I got you.
They're still catching them.
Okay, so you can go down there and stack your cooler up for that midwinter fish fry if you want to do that. Now let's concentrate on catfish a little bit, and let's stay with Fork because I know that's the dependable, maybe one of the most dependable places to catch channel cat in the winter. Give us some tips on say, baiting up holes with grain, that kind of stuff, depths that you'd be looking for right now at Lake Fork.
Right now, what we've been doing best on is staying near, is pretty good drop-offs in the creek channel. The lake's at full pool. So you'll have some flats out there in 20 to 28 foot, and it'll drop off maybe 5-6 foot into the little creek channel. And we're tying up the trees that those creek channels are running close to, and we're baiting those up. And we're staying in that 30 to 32 foot range. And as long as you bait them, and the funny thing is, if you get outside that creek channel, it's kind of odd right now. They don't usually do this, but they're strictly in the creek channels. They're not out on the open flats. Even if you're in 32 foot deep water in an open flat, there's not going to be many fish there. They're really adhering to these creek channels. So keep that in mind when you're baiting holes.
You know, that's an interesting thought, Seth. Years back, 20 years ago, I did a weekly fishing report. Well, I did it for about 15 years for one of the biggest newspapers in Texas. And I had a guide buddy down at of all places, Monticello, and Lake Monticello. And he would tell me in the winter, he said, you know, that's a warm water lake, but there's a cold water side to it also, Lake Monticello.
Right.
He would fish, he says, Luke, if you're not in 30 to 40 foot of water right on bottom in the creek channel, don't worry about 30 foot flats.
Right.
And he told me the same thing, and that's been a good 20 years ago, but I followed his fishing down there at Lake Monticello for years. And he did a lot, as you do, using a punch bait, you know. You use the Stubby's punch bait, I know, summer and winter. And how about the baiting or, you know, chumming with soured grain, soured wheat, range cubes in the wintertime? Does that help you?
It does help. It still does help. And the good thing about baiting in the cooler water is especially if you're doing the range cubes, it's not going to dissolve and go away as fast. You know, in the warm water, in a day and a half time, a 50-pound bag of range cubes is gone. But in the wintertime, it'll dissolve a little slower, and it'll hold fish a little bit longer.
Okay. Now, say we're going to bait our chum, we might call it, with range cubes. Now, is there any help to putting it in, say, an onion sack or a burlap bag and then putting them in? I guess if you want to bait long-term, that might not be a bad plan, but if you're going to go out and freshen up some holes, do you want to just throw them out in the water?
A couple of handful, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to overfeed them because they'll sit there and just eat on that stuff. Then you're bringing in fish and you're puking it all over your boat. So, you know,
right.
Don't overfeed them.
Just give them enough to where they can smell it. And I think, you know, I know this for a fact. I don't care what type of fish you're fishing for. If one stripers, white bass, if one takes the bait, if you will, it turns the school on a lot of times. And I bet that's what's happening with a channel cat in the wintertime, too, you know?
It is. If you catch one, you're going to fire that school up. And we've got about 4 or 5 holes right now. You can pull up, catch 25, go to the next one, catch 25, go and just make your round.
The trap line.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, that's some fun fishing. Let's shift gears just a minute. We have time, I think, to cover this. It's a topic that I may be the only one in the eastern part of Texas that's even interested in it. But the yellow bass in the winter, and then we could concentrate on the white bass, the sand bass also. But if you really wanted to, I like to eat the yellow bass. To me, they're as good a fish as any in fresh water. If you wanted to target those, and I know that's not something you do on your guide trips, but do you think that you could catch a bunch of them if you were really targeting them out there now?
We'd go to Pines right now and catch as many as you want, and they are some big ones.
Pines, so Lake of the Pines has some good ones too.
Oh yeah, they got some real good yellow bass.
Well, I fished for them at Caddo, and we were together there for a short time, a little fishing trip last year, Seth, you know.
That's right.
And during the peak of the, we were there a little later than the yellow bass run, but, you know, there's Billy Carter down there told me, I remember him mentioning, Pines has got equally big yellow bass. So how would you go about small jigs, or if you wanted to really target them?
Little bitty minnows.
Little ones.
There's little bitty minnows. Smallest ones, there's a marina on Lake of the Pines that sells all sizes, mm-hmm. small, mediums, and larges. And they're smalls. I mean, they're literally an inch and a half long. They're tiny.
Little bitty ones.
And just a regular crappie rig, drop it down like a crappie fishing, and you can't get away from the yellow bass right now.
Oh, and what size could you expect down at Pines? 11 inches? Or
pounds.
Oh,
three-quarter pound yellow bass.
Some good size ones, and it can be some pretty fast action. Now, are you the trick to finding them? Just I ask an old Indian guide up in Saskatchewan when I was fishing up there. What's the trick to catching these fish? We're talking about walleye, you know. He was a funny guy, just a nice fellow, a Chippewan Indian. This was last June. He looked at me. I said, was there any particular areas you know? He looked at me very dry. He said, water.
Yeah.
Now, that might be the pattern right now for yellow bass. Put the bait in the water. I don't know.
It pretty much. Yeah. I don't target those things.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Usually where you want a crappie fish, that's where yellow bass are going to be.
So downsize your minnows in those areas and your baits, the size of them, and you can probably catch a bunch of yellow. That sounds like an interesting outing. Maybe one of these times we get a weekday on where we're loose, we may have to get down there and
I can put you on them all day long.
Now that's the deal. We might have to do that before we get into the run on the Sabine River, if that happens. Seth, like always, buddy, we appreciate you getting on with us. We hope you have a happy new year, and I know you're going to be fishing and hunting somewhere, and we look forward to getting you back here with us many times throughout the year. And especially, you know, Fork is kind of the mainstay for you. I get a lot of emails from people that make comments on your input there at Lake Fork. There's a huge interest in fishing for not only the crappie and the catfish we talk about, but also your trophy bass trip. So we'll get you back many times, and I think maybe after this, all this influx of water, things are going to be getting back to normal within this next few days, and you keep catching them.
Yeah, the shallow water catfish bite around the corner. Don't forget that.
That sounds like a next show, so we'll talk about that next time. Seth, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Luke.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thanks very much for tuning in today. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Hunter's Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, Smoke in Tex Electric Smokers, Sun Optics USA, Hogman Outdoors, makers of the Game Alert, Night Sight, and Darton Archery. Make sure and tune in next week. Let's have some more fun talking about the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.